It's all too easy to get sucked in to terrible relationships with people who treat you badly, especially for people who are mistreated and neglected as children. You may find yourself with narcissists, manipulators, liars, people who just plain grind your spirits down. But so long as you stay hyper-focused on what's wrong with them and what they did, the more you may come to see yourself as helpless, and the longer you may be participating in the sabotage of your own future. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Naomi, and she writes, "Hello, Anna. For the past 10 years, I've been with a narcissist who also has CPTSD. I saw the red flags, ignored them, tried to fix him, as I thought it was pretty normal considering all the abuse and traumatic experiences I've lived through, including repeated abandonment, emotional, sexual, and verbal abuse, and basically I became the parent figure and slave to my family." Okay. I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things I want to come back to on a second reading, but let's see what's going on with Naomi. It sounds pretty harsh. "So I threw myself into relationships to fill my own void and my need to feel loved and always seeking to gravitate towards the handsome players, as I knew that they wouldn't change, but I loved the attention and love bombing. Fast forward to me at 32 meeting my last, quote, fiance, the narcissist. I got sucked in. I thought it was real as he was much older and actually available, not in a relationship, that is, or so I thought. I got very upset when I found out he was separated, but not divorced. I told him that I was serious about our relationship and that I needed him to be divorced in order to move forward. Long story short, we moved in together. I found out he was talking to other people. I demanded that he end it. He hid it better. I was going to end it, but suffered a major concussion and was unable to work. He was paying the bills, so I waited it out. In the meantime, I left for 1 month, got some distance and clarity. He knew that I was serious about leaving, so he purposefully got me pregnant." We're going to come back to that. "I tried to make it work for my baby, but the treatment got worse after I had my baby. He became mean, abusive, verbal at first. My baby is now 6. The abuse got so bad that I had to call the police and he went to jail. For the past few months, he stayed in my basement due to the winter and lack of apartment rentals. I have been clear that he cannot return. So this April 1st, I found him an apartment to move to. He was very upset when the time actually came for him to pack up and leave. He became verbally abusive and he was starting to get physical. I reached for my phone to call the police. My phone called my coworker, who called my boss and the police. He's gone now, but my baby is now showing major aggression, anger, and now verbally abusing me as well. How do I help her if I myself am struggling? She's flying off the handle and very hard to reach. I know that it's CPTSD. Do you have a program for children specifically who are actively going through this?" Okay. All right. And that's from Naomi. Thank you, Naomi. I'm just checking something because I think you said that the child is now 6. Yeah, not a baby. All right. Interesting that you say that it's a baby. All right. So, Naomi, this guy sounds abusive. and unable to be on his own feet. And I understand why you wanted to leave and why you, I understand why you called the police. What I also see is that you have a blind spot here where you don't seem to be aware of your own power to make choices for your life. And while I can see that this person you were married to had all kinds of bad things going on and hurt you, you seem to have given all your power and all the blame to him for the way that you stuck around. So this is going to be one of the tough love fairy things where I come through. I get it. I'm not trying to deny that he was abusive to you, but I'm concerned about you because you don't seem to recognize your own agency. And I see you having almost no boundaries. And I don't think things are going to get better for you or your child. I'm not really going to address the child. How children get better is because their parents, in this case, you, are self-regulated and smart and wise. What your daughter needs to see is a woman who has boundaries and takes care of her life and lives free of abusive people. That's what they need to see. Not all entangled with abusive people and getting right back involved at many turns here. So let's go through some of the things you said that flagged my attention here. For 10 years, I've been with a narcissist. Okay, so once you believe somebody's a narcissist, staying with them doesn't make sense to me. He also has CPTSD. Okay, CPTSD people could be narcissists or have narcissistic personality. They could have narcissistic traits, all things that happen. I saw red flags, ignored them. Okay, right there. Now, I don't blame you early in relationships or youth or anything that you saw red flags and ignored them. That's what we do. We didn't ask to have this like red flag detector broken in our minds, but there it is. So you were just behaving like we do. You tried to fix him. That's what we do because we don't want to leave. So we go into magical thinking that, aha, I have the power to fix this person and make them into the person I want them to be that would make me feel good about myself. And what that's called is codependence. And you say, as I thought I was pretty normal, considering all of the abuse and traumatic experiences I've lived through, including repeated abandonment, emotional, sexual, and verbal abuse, and basically became the parent figure and slave to your family. I'm very, very sorry that happened to you. That will absolutely do a number on your ability to perceive things accurately. But I'm here to help you. I'm here from the outside to say that your old belief that considering what happened, you were pretty normal. I know what you mean. I'm the same kind of person. But the hardest thing for me to confront is the way my thinking would completely distort around romantic relationships. And I would just find myself in these embarrassing situations where I didn't even want people to know that I had done it again. And I didn't see it coming because my mind would do a distortion on reality. That was an expression of my CPTSD. It was hard to detect at first. And then once I saw it, I was like, what can I even do with this? I don't know why I do this, but I do it. And I can remember now, I can remember very clearly so many conversations where people tried to say, this doesn't look good, Anna, what are you doing? You know, something, you know, what's a nice girl like you doing in a thing like this? They thought I was pretty together, but they didn't after a while because I was ending up in relationships like that. So if you spent 10 years with someone you consider to be a narcissist, just, I want you to hear this in the gentlest way possible. You're normal for us, but there's something wrong. There's a trauma-driven behavior really, really messing up your life there. People who are in that hypothetical land of normal, healthy people, they leave people like that. They don't even get together with them. They're able to read the signs earlier. And for all the people who are going to sing in the chorus like, oh no, they deceive you. Anybody who thinks that it's impossible to detect is bonding with people too fast and then rationalizing their own victimhood by saying there isn't another way that you could actually get to know people and have more discernment through professional help, friend help, tools, books, reading. There are sneaky people out there, but they're not all of them. They're not all of them. So the fact that you ended up with one is pretty consistent with the abusive childhood you went through. The fact that you didn't leave and tried to fix him instead, also consistent. So totally off the hook. But here you are, you have a kid. So, you know, the pressure is on to get it together. So you met this guy, you say you used to love these handsome players and you knew they wouldn't change, but you loved the attention and love bombing. So what you're describing there, also a trauma-driven behavior, is love addiction or sex addiction, where you have an attraction to the trouble and the artificial high of somebody who love bombs you, and then the strange pull and attraction and mystery of somebody who's also unattainable to you, but handsome, like it's sexy for people to be abandoning. And I call that the eroticization of abandonment. It's a very unfortunate kind of kink, really. It is. It's a sexual preference that is very unfortunate, doesn't work well, makes everybody miserable, and whatever can be done to heal it should be done because it just hurts people. Most of all, you. And now you have a kid, like you getting abandoned for your emotion to feel alive or to feel connected to the world. It really hurts your kid, creates instability. You being angry, you having a lot of drama, you know, as you've had with this ex-husband, is not good for your kid. So the kid doesn't need a program. You need a program. And if you have doubts about that, you could certainly get professional help. But I would strongly advise you that professional help can't work on kids when their parents are caught up in the madness. So it starts with you. It starts with you, Naomi. Okay. So you met this fiance, the narcissist. I guess you never got married. I'm not sure. You got sucked in. And okay, I know that that is the language of narcissist culture. You know, people who watch a lot of narcissist videos love the concept of hoovering. Hoovering's a great concept because it doesn't recognize that you're playing a role in it. Your own difficulties, your own lack of perception, you are sucking into it. You are getting drawn up in the exciting energy of it. I thought it was real as he was much older and actually available. And then it turns out he was lying about that. He was separated but not divorced, which is ambiguous, which is so typical of the sorts of people we go for when we like the abandoning type, when we like the type that's not real, that's not really there for us. I told him I was serious about our relationship and that I needed him to be divorced in order to move forward. I get it, my sister, but here's the thing. When you demand that somebody change their status for you, you're actually trying to force, you're trying to force them to be the person that you hoped they were when you met them. And I'm telling you this from my own very hard experience. You cannot really force that. The person who is actually free and available has chosen that all by themselves without some woman that they're involved with pressuring them about it. The very fact that you have to pressure him is why this is a bummer for you. That you're not really looking for the fact of his divorce. You're looking for the energy of his divorce, the energy of somebody who's emotionally available. But also, there's this irony here that I want you to see because I want to help you just recognize how injured your perception is here. You're like, he's a narcissist, he lies, and I pressured him to get divorced and be with me, like that would fix it. I so know what that's like. And I know as you are learning, it doesn't get you what you want. It doesn't get you what you want. If a person isn't the person that you hoped they were, it's time to go, oh, I was wrong, and leave. Because love is not just sitting there trying to strong arm somebody into being who you hoped after you sort of wake up and realize your life is connected to them now. They are not who you hoped, or you would feel really happy about them already. They are not that. Now, that's not to say in established couples that sometimes things are going to come up where you're like, honey, I cannot tolerate this thing about you. And if we're going to be together, I need you to change it. But I still say, under all circumstances, that needs to be open-ended. A boundary is when you say, I'm not going to put up with that. It's not forcing somebody else to do it. It's not forcing energy. It's just like, look, I'm not going to put up with this if that's what you want. So I'm trying to understand why you say you were serious about the relationship when you believed he was a narcissist. Why would you be serious about a narcissist? I'm not saying this because I'm confused. I'm saying this because I'm challenging you to admit that you're having distorted thinking there, that you're simultaneously thinking he's a horrible person and that if you could just get control over him, he'd be great. So maybe I'm hoping when you hear me say it, you can hear it. Like, that's not rational. That's not rational. He's got real problems that make you very unhappy. You wanted seriousness. You moved in together. I lived with a lot of people back in the day. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Living together, once you have a kid, it creates a very gray area where you're trying to sort of get some needs met without the commitment. And if you're somebody who struggles in relationships and has connection wounds and wants commitment, which if you have a kid, you know, if somebody's going to be in your life at all, I'm telling you, you can't be having, you know, people just kind of tromping through, you know, here or there. So bad for the kid. Like, you have this higher mission now. So commitment's important. I'm just saying it as an aside, but okay, you live together. Could have been a good thing, but not with somebody you believe to be a narcissist. That's kind of like jumping into the pot. So then you found out he was talking to other people. I assume you mean like I don't know, porn, flirting, online dating, I don't know. And I demanded that he end it. Okay, so you're not even married to the guy, and he's doing this behavior that's abhorrent to you and unacceptable, and your solution is to demand that he be somebody different, rather than see he is not who you want, he is not who you need, and he keeps showing you this. So you demanding that he ended it, that's like an archetype of a person who is in denial, you know, who's just so angry, it's not going their way. So you demanded it, and then he hid it better. Well, yeah, that's the nature of making demands of people, or sort of like, I don't really know where he was coming from, and he can't speak for himself here, but apparently he didn't want to leave. He just wanted to have his cake and eat it too, from what you're telling me. So he hid what he was doing. He hid the cake, and that's what liars do. So you said, I was going to end it, but suffered a major concussion and was unable to work. He was paying the bills, so I waited it out. All right, so right there, I understand your reasoning. I've been poor before, but I just want to tough love you and say, so you knew that you didn't want to be with him. And when you wanted somebody to take care of you financially, you hid from him that you were leaving so that he would do that. So you're kind of playing the same game here. You're eating the cake. Now I need the money. Now I know how hard it is to strike out, and you know, when you have a medical stuff, but if he had died, or if he had ended it with you for good, you would have had to find a way to survive. And I just think you could have. I think you would have. And even if it was a women's shelter, and it would have been better than, you know, deceiving somebody so that they would financially take care of you, which gets you more entangled. In the meantime, I left for 1 month, got some distance and clarity. Okay. He knew that I was serious about leaving, so he purposefully got me pregnant. So I'm just calling you out here. If you were serious about leaving, you would not have had sex with him. Now, perhaps he sexually assaulted you and you literally had no control over it, in which case you did soon call the cops. But that's the end of the relationship. If somebody sexually assaults you and gets you pregnant, you know, just being sexually involved with somebody who you want to leave after you got clarity, it's just a complete loss of boundaries. And again, I just think a lot of people are going to go, but all these things happen. And I know there are these cases where, you know, we're desperate. But the thing is, if it's ever going to change, if we're ever going to heal from this way that we just get like rocked around on this horrible stormy sea of life because we don't have boundaries, because we're not clear, because we don't see that we have agency to change. That's what I want to share with you, Naomi. You do have agency. You have the power to change your life. You have a child now, so this is all water under the bridge. But going forward, everybody, don't have sex with people you can't stand and who you consider dangerous narcissists. And don't be financially dependent on them if you possibly can survive without it or at all. Even if you have to go to a shelter, it could be better. You're talking about somebody who's abusive. So this is often why people stay in abusive relationships, is because it's so difficult financially. So I've had to leave situations in my past before, and it was different. I had to stay on couch. It was pre-kid. And there was a period after I had kids where there was a terrible financial episode that befell my life. Not actually my fault, but I was out of work, 2008, house lost its value. And I started to think I might have to do that again. And I know how terrifying it is. There's many things that I would put up with to avoid that fate. But what I'm hearing is that this history of ignoring red flags, I demanded that he change and he didn't. And this could have, you had so many opportunities before this child came along. So, okay. I understand though. I tried to make it work for my baby. All right, but still, when you have a baby, people, you don't have to make it work with the other parent if they're abusive. That's the wrong thing to do. Any idea that you're doing it for the parent, for the child's sake, to expose a child to abuse is a terrible thing. Much better that they should have a peaceful household or two peaceful households, if that's how it works out. So the treatment got worse after you had a baby. That is typical with abusers. He became mean, abusive, verbal at first. Baby is 6 now. So this is, I'm just saying something about this. Your baby's not a baby. A 6-year-old is a child and has awareness and will remember what's happening here and has starting to have a will of their own. And the abuse got so bad that I had to call the police and he went to jail, the ex. So for the past few months, he stayed in the basement. Okay. So you had to call the cops And then you let him stay in the basement. And this is when you started the language again of pretend boundaries. He couldn't leave because it was winter. People can leave in the winter and the lack of apartment rentals. People can leave when there's a lack of apartment rentals. They don't stay together with the person they abused. He was very upset when the time actually came for him to pack up and leave, I'm sure. It's hard. Breaking up is terrible. And trying to exit from an abusive relationship, there's going to be a lot of crazy going on. And that is why I so strongly recommend that you get help from professionals, whether they be police, therapists, or a women's shelter, or a homeless shelter, because sometimes men are abused too. Some kind of shelter where you have professional help to guide you. I've known people to leave abusive relationships. They had to do it over 6 months, secretly taking one little thing in their purse at a time. To a secret apartment till they could finally do it, because they were literally afraid for their lives. And there's, you know, people, it comes to that sometimes. So I've been clear that he cannot return. But see, what I would like you to get clear about, because he's going to try to return, I want you to get clear that you will not let him in. Okay, it doesn't matter what you believe he can and can't do. It's what you will allow him to do. And I think you mean that, but I'm going to say the words and try to help you be very clear so you can't go into the fuzzy thing that we people with trauma do around these issues. So on the first of the month, I found him an apartment to move into. So right there, okay, I get it. I realize that sometimes, you know, if somebody's really a sponge and helpless, you do that. But right now you're very, very involved in trying to help the person who abused you. He was very upset, verbal abuse. Then he started to get physical and you tried to call the police. It went to your coworker who called your boss. So now everybody knows, which I think may help you, that you, because one of the things about being in an abusive relationship is there's a strong incentive and desire to hide from other people how bad it is, right? And so now you've lost that luxury, they know. And that, I think that could be helpful. It'll be helpful for you to be able to accept what's happening and get help and open up. You said, my baby is now showing major aggression, anger, and is now verbally abusing me as well. So you didn't tell me what the custody arrangement is. It sounds like your ex is so broken down, there is no custody, or that you don't have a custody agreement. And since you're not married, these custody agreements can be pretty muddy. And I really, really encourage you to get legal help with that, to start deciding about custody, because if he's an abusive person, and I know all of this stuff is expensive, but again, a women's shelter, because of what's been happening and calling the cops, you are eligible to get some help, I do believe and hope, from a shelter so that you can start to get some boundaries around your relationship and your custody agreement. So one really important thing is to shield your child from drama. Shield your child from drama. You're going to have bad days, Naomi. It's going to, you know, he's going to make you so mad with his drama, his attempts to draw you in. You're going to have bad days. And so your job now is to start developing this really strong boundary, is that I feel this way inside. I have a trusted person or two I can talk to about what's going on, and I don't express it in front of the kid. Now, even so, kids will begin to pick up. Their nervous system is very connected to yours. So if you're full of anger and anxiety, they're going to feel that. If your kid is raging right now, well, that is a normal thing that happens with kids who have been exposed to violence and raging parents. So you may end up deciding to get professional help. And I don't know if your kid has CPTSD right now. Like, that's, I couldn't diagnose it even in an adult, you know, let alone a child. But I know your kid has been going through a lot of drama at home, and that's really hard. And that behavior sounds like the way kids act out when the trauma is starting to manifest. So I'm so proud of you for taking this seriously and deciding to make changes. So a structured, safe, no drama home environment. You may be forced to share custody. And I actually have a course called Positive Shared Custody that I made before Crappy Childhood Fairy with my ex. We went the journey from lots of crazy to totally, you know, cooperative parenting. And he's a family law attorney, as it happens. And we made a little course about how to do that. If anybody's interested, contact my team at hello@crappychildhoodfairy.com. And they can connect you with that. So that's, I suggest it for you, but that's all about how to have a peaceful, functioning two-parent family for the sake of the kid. And there's a lot of practical strategies that you can use not to get wrapped up in the drama. It sounds like he's not somebody who can be trusted to hold up his end at all, but these are strategies that can help no matter what's happening. You don't let yourself get drawn into arguments. You focus on, you know, a few specific outcomes that you need, like, do you have the backpack? Do you have the homework? Do you know where the red tennis shoes are? Who's going to take her to the birthday party? Who's going to have her at Christmas? That sort of thing. And this is the sort of thing that makes life really hard when you don't have a clear plan. You know, if he's somebody who violates it, doesn't respect it, there's secondary plans you can do to still stay sane no matter what. You can stay sane and protected no matter what. That's your objective right now. So you may decide with your child's school or doctor, you know, perhaps talk to a doctor about whether anything's done, but you will get a, you know, the whatever they say it is, it starts with you, Naomi, being centered and grounded inside. So what I want to recommend to you and leave you with this, anybody who needs to know how to get really grounded and get free and have a way to discharge intense emotions that come up around the drama of other people is the daily practice. The daily practice. And this is the twin techniques that I use to transform my life. I've been doing them 30 years now. And my son just gave me some flowers. We're going to have a birthday dinner for me because my birthday is coming up and people are coming over, and several people in my family do the daily practice. And we do that before everybody eats. And it can be a lovely way of life. Took a long time before I had other people who do it too, including kids. So give it a try. This is a way you can kind of bring the energy freak out down. And it's my observation through myself and a lot of other people that when you do the daily practice and bring that calm and centeredness into yourself, that the kids feel it. They don't have to know the details about it. You don't have to tell them. Whatever you do, don't talk about these problems with your child. And that you have a way to discharge it. And Naomi, please get help. If you can, therapy, if you can, women's shelter, if you can, 12-step program, you certainly would be welcome to join my membership, where many people are going through similar things and working it out in their lives, and they support each other. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to BetterHelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.